You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, let's get it. It is Locked On College Football. I'm Matt Muscone from Locked On LSU. He is Kevin McGuire from Locked On Nittany Lions. Kevin, good to be back, especially when we are in our collective wheelhouse talking about National Signing Day. All the info you need, you and I, we got it.
Yeah, well, we're going to try to cover as much ground as we possibly can. Obviously, Wednesday was the early National Signing Day. Feels a little bit different. It kind of snuck up on me. I don't know about you, Matt. Now, maybe you follow things a little bit differently than I do, but you know, it certainly kind of caught me by surprise that it was happening this week because I don't pay too close attention to the recruiting scene. So every time the National Signing Day comes up, I start to get a little bit more ready for it. But this one kind of snuck up on me. And I think that's just a product of 2020 being what it has been.
Yeah, bro. My comments were just dripping in sarcasm. I mean, not like you and I, like we're not recruiting experts at all. But a couple of takeaways, though, nationally. I'll ask you for a couple. Obviously, Bama, Ohio State, Georgia, LSU, Clemson, that's your top five. No surprise. Those programs always seem to be there, and they're always the ones that are near the top of everything, whatever. A couple that were surprising. How about USC? A big rebound for Clay Helton. Last year, their recruiting class finished like in the 80s. I mean, it was a woeful class for Clay Helton in a year where some might thought he got fired. This is a heck of a rebound. They're 11th in the country, still not where they want to be. And I don't want to overemphasize recruiting rankings because really it's what you do when you get the guys on campus and development. But the programs that I just read off to you, I mean, Bama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, LSU, or, I mean, they're always at the top for a reason because they're always at the top of the recruiting rankings. They have the best players. So I think that's a nice bounce back for Clay Helton when he had to have it.
Yeah, absolutely. And this has actually been a pretty good year for Clay Helton, too. And if you're hoping that Clay Helton was going to be removed, I mean, you're losing arguments here because they haven't lost a game on the field. They're going to play for a Pac-12 championship this weekend, hopefully. And then, of course, the recruiting continues to be doing well. And take a look at where USC is. Obviously, like you said, number 11 nationally. Obviously, USC has a higher standard than that traditionally. But take a look at where everybody else in the Pac-12 is. I mean, you're starting to see USC could potentially be putting together some distance between them and a lot of the other teams in the Pac-12. So that's a good sign, I think, for where USC is potentially heading because they will have talent. That has never been a huge issue for USC. And to have the best talent in the Pac-12 conference is only going to bode well for them moving down the line.
What else stood out to you?
Let's stay right in that same area. Michigan. Once again, Jim Harbaugh is doing something right with Michigan. Obviously, I know the bar is Ohio State, right? But Jim Harbaugh continues to recruit pretty well. He's going to have the second best class in the Big Ten. That has typically been the case. He has had some of the better classes in the Big Ten outside of Ohio State. So what does this mean for what Jim Harbaugh's future is? Supposing that he's still going to be the head coach at Michigan. I don't think he's leaving, but again, who knows what's going to happen. But this is going to continue to put on the pressure for him to put something together in terms of wins and starting to close some gap with Ohio State. It's hard to do when Ohio State has a number two recruiting class, but you know, getting higher up in the pecking order of the Big Ten East standings has to be an absolute must for Michigan very soon. Now, obviously, this has not been a good year. They're not going to play again this weekend with their game against Iowa being canceled. And they're looking at one of the bottom spots in the Big Ten East. It's not a good look, but then the recruiting seems to be going pretty well for Michigan and Jim Harbaugh.
I'll give you one more. Jackson State. It's not often that we would mention Jackson State of the SWAC when we're talking about recruiting and National Signing Day, but of course you might remember their head coach is Deion Sanders, a.k.a. Coach Prime. Deion Sanders today flipped a four-star defensive back from Georgia.
Say that one more time. Because that needs to sink in with people's mindset a little bit.
Deion Sanders flipped a four-star top JUCO defensive back in the country from Georgia to Jackson State in the SWAC, where facilities rival high school facilities and the level of play rivals middle school play. I live in a town where maybe the greatest HBCU program, Southern University, is, and they're the benchmark. I've seen a lot of these programs, and it ain't good, man. Like, It is incredible that Deion Sanders has 2 4-star prospects going to Jackson State. It just goes to show you that even though Deion played his last game 15 years ago, and when he played with the Ravens 15 years ago, he wasn't primetime anymore.
No.
Like, when he was primetime, none of these kids were born. Like, he still has cachet. It's unreal, man, what his legacy and his brand as primetime carries, because that, made no mistake, that is why, undoubtedly, these kids have chosen Jackson State. That is, like, if you're Kirby Smart and you're losing 4 stars to Jackson State, that's unbelievable.
It absolutely is. And this is actually a recruit that I paid a little bit of attention to, because even though he was committed to Georgia for a while, there were some people around Penn State that thought that they might have a shot to maybe flip him towards Penn State. So not only does Deion Sanders get a kid to flip from Georgia, but he also beats out Penn State for that possible scholarship. So that is tremendous what Deion Sanders is doing. Now, I don't know if he can coach a football game. We're going to find that out in due time. But what he is doing in putting Jackson State on the map is just incredible. And I'm wondering what the staying power is for that. You know, obviously, you know, new coach, obviously, you know, the swag that Deion Sanders brings to the table, and that's going to resonate. It doesn't matter. You know, like you said, the generation gap, it doesn't really exist when you've got the swag that Deion Sanders has. And, you know, kudos to him for doing what he's doing right now. I'm looking forward to following this Jackson State football program. And I know, Matt, you and I, we're going to be the foremost authorities on Jackson State football here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We may have to start Locked On Jackson State. I don't know.
Count me out. I will not be doing Locked On Jackson State at all.
All right. I went a little too far.
By the way, we have met our recruiting talk quota. We'll talk about it again in February. In the meantime, we'll get back to the football. We're brought to you by Coors Light. When you need to chill, reach for that ice-cold Rocky Mountain refreshment. The beer that is cold-lagered, cold-filtered, cold-packaged, literally made to chill. So if you're kicking up your feet, unwinding this weekend, watching championship weekend in college football, hanging out with the family, you just need a cold one after work. When you need to chill and hit that reset button, reach for ice-cold Coors Light.
Yeah, and if you're like me, Matt, you probably don't have to deal with this, but I'm kind of snowed in right now. It's snowing. It is sleeting outside. I don't want to leave my house. So if I want to get some more Coors Light, I don't have to leave my house, because I can just whip up on my phone, get that CoorsLight.com, and I can get Coors Light delivered to me straight from a contactless delivery service. It's great. So Coors Light is the one that we choose when we want to unwind. So when you want to hit the reset button, reach for the beer that's made to chill. And of course, remember to celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Headed to World Championship weekend. Remember to catch Locked On College Football tomorrow, Friday, as they'll have a full preview and breakdown of all the games here at Championship weekend. It is Locked On College Football. Please subscribe however you get your podcast. Glad you're with us here, Kevin and Matt. And we'll get to previewing some of those games here shortly. But, Kevin, I wanted to take a second to talk about what Mike Oresko said. He's the commissioner of the American Athletic Association. And he went on the Feinbaum show on Wednesday and basically blasted the college football playoff, the selection committee, how everything happens. He said they, quote, undermine its credibility with the rankings that defy logic and common sense and fairness. He's basically ticked because his school, Cincinnati, continues to be disrespected and knocked down in the rankings. Cincinnati was 7. They haven't played the last 2 weeks. They've lost a spot each of the last 2 weeks, even though they're undefeated. The 8-0 Bearcats are now ranked 9th and realistically have no shot at getting in the playoff. And Mike Oresko lobbied for a return to the BCS. He said at least it's a fairer system because you had computers involved and you knew how the metrics were put together. So you probably know where I stand on this. I would love to hear your thoughts on what Mike Oresko said about how Cincinnati is being treated and really his suggestion to return to the BCS.
I'm not necessarily in favor. I think we are on the same page that if anything, we actually favor playoff expansion. Now, I'm willing to expand the playoff and allow for this highest ranked group of five conference champion to have one of those spots in the playoff. I've always been in favor of that. But returning to the BCS doesn't seem like it's a step in the right direction for me. I can understand his sentiment, though. And he's doing what a commissioner of a conference needs to do, and that is protect his members. And if he feels like one of his members is being cheated by the current system, then I'm not opposed to him speaking out with his concerns. I just don't think that going back to the BCS, which had a number of issues on its own, is the way to go. And I don't even think a return to the BCS would favor Cincinnati at all in this situation. This is not the old days of the Big East, when the Big East actually had some national credibility with some of the programs they had. And I'm not disrespecting Cincinnati. I like Cincinnati, but I don't think that that is a move that would actually bode well for him if that were the case.
He's making the wrong argument completely. It's not go back to the BCS. He's right to call out this committee. Because it's obvious what they're doing, man. Like, look at the four teams. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Ohio State. If you're a TV network putting together a playoff, pick another team you'd rather have in than those four. That's a dream scenario, right? I mean, those
probably swap out Clemson for maybe a USC if USC's all on that part, but you're not swapping them out for Cincinnati.
If you want to go regional and so you want a West Coast representation, okay, but the four national brands that you have represented right now, and listen, the college football playoff was created by the Power Five leagues. Of course it's going to skew Power Five. They created it to give themselves the platform and to make more money. Power Five conferences don't want to be left out of this at all, and one is guaranteed to be every year. You think any of them want to be left out for Cincinnati?
I mean, of course not.
Like, listen, I have, okay. Cincinnati is a fine football team. I think Luke Fickell's done a great job. He clearly was ready for this when he left Ohio State, being under Urban Meyer, all of that. And my tone, you can tell there's a but coming. But you're playing an American Athletic Conference schedule. The real question is, how many teams in college football could be 8-0 playing that schedule? And the answer is way more than would be undefeated playing Notre Dame schedule or Alabama schedule or Florida or any Power 5 schedule. And there's no way in hell Cincinnati would be undefeated against the Power 5 schedule with respect to them. So I just have no respect for little boy football. Like, the thing that's so maddening to me, Kevin, is go play in your own sandbox. Go crown a group of five national champion. But they won't, because there's no dollars attached to that, and they know it. And so they're conflicted. They want their cake and eat it too. They know that there's no dollars attached to being a group of five champion and having your own little playoff. So they want to be attached to the FBS, but they're not good enough to be considered with the giant programs in the Power Five. So pick, do you want money or do you want a chance to win a championship? Because in this world, you're never going to win a championship ever, and you should never have the right to win a championship ever. So go play in your own sandbox and go crown your own champion, or stay here, make money, and shut up. I'm tired of hearing it from you. But you're right. You're exactly right, Kevin. The way to do it is expand. It's right. Not shrink. I mean, even those great Boise State teams never got a look in the BCS. It's not go back to the BCS. It's expand to 16, expand to 32. Let's let everybody get a shot, and so you could play it out on the field. And then when they'd go up against someone legitimate, they get their ass kicked, because that's what would happen. But I have no time or sensibility for small, tiny programs that I don't care to watch bitching about not being able to be in the playoff, because you don't belong in the playoff. So go play in your own sandbox.
See, here's the thing. I actually really enjoy watching Group of Five football, and I try to soak up as much of it as possible. I went to a small school. I went to a Division II school, so I probably have a little bit of different, I'm going to say attention span. I'm not criticizing you or anything, but I feel like I have a little bit of a different viewpoint on some of those smaller schools. But at the same time, I fully understand the fact that they are not on the same level as teams that are at the top of the Big Ten and the SEC and the ACC. There is a wide disparity, and we see that year in and year out. Can Cincinnati win a one-on-one matchup with one of those teams on a neutral field? Yeah, probably. I mean, history has shown. Boise State has done it. Cincinnati, I believe, has done it. Utah did it before they were in the Pac-12. So, yeah, those scenarios exist. It can possibly happen that Cincinnati could pull an upset of a Notre Dame or something like that if that matchup were to happen. I'm not counting on it, and 9 times out of 10 probably goes the other way, but the possibility exists. Now, does that mean that they should be getting the same access to the 14 playoff? No, I don't think so, because I still feel as though, even though Cincinnati is a very good team, certainly I believe the best team in the group of five, are they better than Ohio State? Are they better than Alabama? Are they better than Notre Dame or Clemson? Are they better than Texas A&M? I mean, I can add on to this list. And, there's probably even a couple teams behind them in their current rankings that I would probably still say are better than Cincinnati. But, of course, rankings are what they are. But, yeah, I do feel like the argument needs to be made for playoff expansion. And I feel like that's where Mike Goresko really needs to focus in. I know they're all concerned about this Power Six idea. You know, it's a fine gimmick. It works for them, I guess, but it's not really, because they're not getting any foothold.
Bro, that's
in
like
14
playoff. That's like me saying I have a full head of hair. You can say whatever you want, but we all know it ain't true. By the way, Cincinnati got their ass beat in the Sugar Bowl in Tim Tebow's last game, 51-24 in New Orleans, just down the road from me. So no, I have no desire to see Cincinnati play in any meaningful game. Take your little AAC championship, hang a banner, put a trophy in a case, and move on, because nobody else cares. All right.
Well, UCF did that.
skin crawls. My skin crawls when I think about this. Okay. We will wrap up by talking about championship weekend, and maybe we'll even give an obligatory mention to Cincinnati, because we got to do that, because you got to mention all the little boys nobody really cares about. Stick around.
Betting on college football doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers, and subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.
I am crushing betonline.ag this year, by the way. I inexplicably, Kevin, as bad as my picks have been, like straight up, you throw point spreads into it, I'm having an uncanny run this year. I can't even explain it, but I've used betonline.ag forever, so they're awesome. Use them, betonline.ag. Okay, got a game on Friday at the Pac-12 championship game. I actually respect what the Pac-12 did going to Friday to give themselves a standalone window with their title game. No one will be there, so that's pretty much par for the course for the Pac-12 championship game, because nobody ever goes to this game. Oregon is the fill-in against Southern Cal. So Oregon, USC, can the Trojans make it a perfect 6-0?
Yeah, I think so. I think USC is clearly the best team in the Pac-12. I think Oregon has fallen short of some of their expectations. I will throw out there, though, that Colorado has their equipment truck halfway between their campus and Los Angeles, because they are ready to go if they need to swap in and fill in there. It's a wild situation. I don't know if the Pac-12 was necessarily handled all that great, but yeah, at the end of the day, I felt like Oregon and USC were going to be the two teams that determined this Pac-12 championship. At the beginning of the season, I would have said Oregon, and then I watched the season, and now I'm saying USC.
I've watched the season too, and USC is not impressive. They should have lost Arizona State. They got lucky. They played a 34-30 game against Arizona. Even this last weekend against UCLA, my goodness, they needed a miracle finish to win it. And God bless them, they got it. But I'll give USC a ton of credit for finding ways to win those close games. But this has not been an impressive football team. Now, the flip side of it is neither is Oregon. So I don't have a great feeling on this one way or another. Like, I could see, I'd say flip a coin. Because SC has found a way to win games late, I'd probably lean on them in crunch time to make a play, but I have very little confidence in that pick. But it will be fascinating if you have an undefeated 6-0 USC and an undefeated 6-0 Ohio State. How do you possibly justify Ohio State over USC when they have the exact same record and both are a 6-0 undefeated conference champion in a power league? I mean, and neither has a real signature win on the season. I mean, I
will not stand for this disrespect of the Indiana Hoosiers, by the way.
Cue up. Indiana stinks. Whatever. Cue up Mike Oresko. He'll yell about it. Okay, speaking of Big Ten championship game is going to be in Indianapolis, so weather won't be a factor there at Lucas Oil. Can Northwestern keep this thing close? It's a 3-touchdown line.
They can because of their defense, but they can't because of their offense. At some point, Northwestern's going to have to score some points. And because Ohio State, when they get the doors going, it's going to be tough for them to slam it. So I do feel like Ohio State, at some point, they may be a little slow going, because Northwestern can be prickly at times. But I think once Ohio State gets going, it's going to be tough for Northwestern to keep up.
I could see this being like a 7-3 ball game with 2 minutes to go in the half, and it finishes like 49-7. it could be one of those types of games. So I do think Ohio State wins and wins big, but I think Northwestern will keep it close for just too many athletes for Ohio State. We actually have a full slate of games in other leagues, which is actually kind of cool. But let's talk about the other two championship games, Clemson, Notre Dame. This one's in Charlotte. Does Notre Dame do it again?
No. I don't think so. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be a little bit of a difference here that wasn't available, obviously, the last time they played. But I do think Notre Dame, they're legitimate. They're going to keep this game close. It's not going to be a blowout. I think this game goes into the fourth quarter and it can be anybody's game. I just think Clemson will find a play that they weren't able to find in the previous meeting. I think Clemson comes out on top, but Notre Dame's still sitting in a really good playoff spot as far as I'm concerned.
I think Clemson blows them out. I think this is more than two touchdowns. I don't think it's close. And I think this makes a really tough call for the committee because
interesting.
Do you take a one loss? The line's 10.5. I'd pick Clemson to cover by a mile. I think Dabo is in a mood. He knows he didn't have Trevor Lawrence the first time. I think Clemson will have their absolute undivided attention on this game and wanting a ton of vengeance. And I think Clemson wins going away in this ballgame. So
let me ask you real quick. If that does play out, is Notre Dame in serious trouble of not making the playoffs?
Yes, absolutely. This is
Texas A&M sitting right there.
This is the scenario that we played out. So A&M's one loss to Alabama. Notre Dame's one loss to Clemson. A&M's best win is Florida. Notre Dame's best win is a Trevor Lawrence less Clemson in double overtime. I think Notre Dame gets routed in this ballgame, and I think it makes a very, very – you know, but what I do think happens is that very clearly opens the door for Ohio State if Notre Dame is out. I just think then the real question becomes who is that fourth team? Bama, Florida, close at all?
No. I think Alabama just mops the floor of Florida. I really don't see any way that Florida keeps up with Alabama in this game, especially after losing to LSU last week, right? And you know as much as anybody, LSU has not been a very good team. So what do we see the last 2 weeks? Alabama just destroyed LSU, and then Florida loses to LSU. Now, I understand Kyle Pitts wasn't available, whatever.
Huge.
I guess that is a serious loss. I'm not going to hold that against him, but I don't know if he's the difference between Florida beating Alabama and losing to Alabama.
Oh, I hold it against him. Florida had two red zone possessions against LSU that netted 3 points. Now, I don't know definitively that I could say the outcome's different, but what I do know definitively is Kyle Trask is targeting Kyle Pitts in those red zone possessions if he's there. I do think that that was the difference in the game, and Florida held out. They'll never acknowledge this on air, but Florida held out Kyle Pitts because they didn't think they needed him. They needed him on Saturday.
Yeah,
they opened
the door. I got that vibe too.
Listen, 609 yards of offense, 34 points. Florida should have won the game. Three turnovers in the first half. Every time Florida threw a shoe or threw a pick, LSU capitalized. I mean, it was one of those.
I was waiting for the shoe reference. We had to have
I mean, listen, that's a once every 30-year type upset. When you're a 24-point dog and you went on the road with a freshman quarterback making his first start. But Florida can score. Florida can score the way Ole Miss scored on Bama. Florida can put up 40 in this game. It's just, is Bama going to score 60 like they did against Ole Miss?
Yeah.
If Florida can get a few stops, this can be a game. Like, I like Florida and the points. I like this one inside the number. I think this is going to be a closer game than most people think. Do you care to pick Tulsa and Cincinnati?
I'm picking Cincinnati, but I'm picking Tulsa to cover.
God, I hope Tulsa wins. Just a shot on Mike Oresko.
Here's the interesting thing, though. Going back to what Mike Oresko was saying, he might be feeling the pressure because his conference could be left out of the group of five. Because if Cincinnati loses, Coastal Carolina wins.
Yeah.
That door's open for Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina's bid.
Unless if the University of Louisiana at Lafayette Ragin' Cajuns manage to win the Sun Belt Championship that nobody will be watching. The other game that's really of note is Texas A&M Tennessee, only of note for the reason we were discussing. A&M's ranked fifth. They're 7-1. If they are really impressive against Tennessee, this is their last opportunity for a style points win to maybe push them into the end of the playoff.
Yeah, they can certainly benefit from some style points. I think Ohio State can as well. I mean, this is going to be a style point weekend for Texas A&M and Ohio State because it might come down to those two teams, right? So whichever team is going to be more impressive. Now, I think Ohio State has the advantage here because they're playing at least a ranked team. Say what you will about Northwestern, but you know Tennessee's no real powerhouse right now either. So the advantage might be Ohio State's right here, and then not just because they're ranked four right now, but I do feel like Ohio State's got the better opportunity in front of them. Where if they're impressive, I think it's going to be pretty difficult for them to be left out. If is what I'm saying.
Oh, the committee's made up their mind. If Ohio State wins, they're going to be in.
I
don't doubt that at all at this point. Now next week you're going to hear me yell a lot because that's absurd that a team can play half the schedule of other teams and just be ushered into the playoff. But I'll yell about that next week. But I agree with you on the games as well. All right, it's going to be a good weekend, man. It's amazing that we're already into, like, late December and we're still talking about the regular season of college football, but enjoy it. At least we have football. Kevin, it's a pleasure as always, man. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good.